First Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. The scripture says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." The title of our lesson tonight is Recognizing God's Voice. And let me say at the beginning of our lesson that sometimes we don't hear God's voice. He pays us special visits all of the time. He's with us all of the time, and he speaks to our hearts. But it's our fault if we don't hear. So recognizing God's voice. In the chaos and the confusion of this world in which we live, it is easy to lose sight of and forget the most valuable asset we have been blessed by God to have. We'll forget those. We get our priorities all wrong, and we forget the most important and valuable things that God has blessed us with. His voice to us in the midst of all this confusion and evil in this world is one precious gift we never need to lose sight of. His voice. We have his voice. The world has many voices, many opinions, and they do not mind giving that to us or projecting that to us. They do not mind that. But we have to be very careful that we hear his voice. And, you know, the scripture says that if we are his sheep, hear his voice, and they will follow him. But we ought to have the heart attitude, and we ought to have the prayer, Lord, speak, for your servant hears. The Lord knows the sincere hearts, and he knows how to speak to us, but sometimes we just don't hear. He's speaking, but we don't hear. And I want to emphasize that strongly tonight. We need to ask God for help and strength to stop and be still, to listen for and to obey his voice. This is our only hope, and this is our connection to staying on the right path with God. If we don't listen and hear his voice, that's our guidance right there. We'll get off on the wrong track, on the wrong road, and we'll hear the wrong voices. This is the only correct and trustworthy guide that we have in this world. We need to be very careful to protect it. We become so busy with living life itself that although God is always speaking to our hearts, sometimes we fail to listen and to hear. You've got to listen in order to hear. You've got to be in tune to listening. The problem is not with God. The problem is we don't hear. God speaks. We are too preoccupied sometimes to hear. A principle we can identify from 1 Samuel 3, and if you get the chance, I'm focusing on verse 10 tonight, but if you get the chance, read that whole chapter. I mean, 1 Samuel, it can read down to chapter, well, let's see, go back to 1 and read through chapter 3. You know, this, it will be regarding some of the things that we talk about tonight. But one of the main principles that we can identify from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 10 is if we are willing and receptive, we can grow in our ability to recognize the voice of the Lord. But first, what do we have to do? We have to be willing and we have to be receptive. We must be willing to receive what God wants to say to us. If we will be still and listen, this enables the Lord to communicate with us through His Word. Do not think that it is a coincidence. When you pray and ask God to speak to your heart, and then He sends a devotional pertaining to you, your need. Do you think that is a coincidence? It's not. It's God visiting with us. It's Him speaking to our hearts, His very voice in our lives to let us know, I heard your prayer. I'm answering your prayer. I know you've had times like that maybe you were going through something or other in your life, and you prayed and said, Lord, please send guidance to me. Help me to know how to deal with this particular situation. And then, first thing you know, you open your Bible or you open your devotional book, or you see a plaque on the wall and the Lord speaks. His voice is speaking to your heart, and he's telling you, I'm meeting your needs. This devotional pertains to just what you needed. I've sent help. So He sent it personally in response to your asking. He may send a message by ordering the steps of a special messenger to speak truth to you. Why, it's not beyond the Lord to work a miracle in answer to our prayers. You've had miracles happen before. And you know, today as I was preparing the lesson, the Lord reminded me of something that Mike and I both have shared many times, because it's so personal and so precious to us, so real that we will never forget it. We will carry it through our life. But when we were in Indonesia and Kim fell down the flagpole, had a serious injury, and we were praying and asking the Lord, what do we do? Because we couldn't get a flight out of there. It's not, you know, so easy to get flights in Jakarta like it is over here. And we didn't know what to do. So we prayed and we said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And then, you know, Mike got on his knees, and there was a group of our church people outside that door. And I remember Mike grabbed when we looked at the wound, he said, get the betadine. I got the betadine, and although it burned a little, we just washed her wound with it, kind of cleaned it up. And that was able to keep her from having infection. But when he got up off of his knees, he didn't know everybody was out there, but I was standing right there inside the door, and I said, honey, what direction has the Lord given you? That was his voice speaking to Mike. And he said, stay here and trust me. Boy, you talking about clinging on to those words, stay here and trust me. So when we went to the hospital, the hospital was so different than our hospitals here. And it was a new shock to us. I mean, it was just shocking to us. And we didn't know a lot of Indonesian at that time. We were still learning. So we certainly didn't know medical terms and how to talk. So Elizabeth tried to help, and Angel tried to help, you know, with the translation. But for medical terms, it's very difficult. So we had to call on the Lord, and we prayed and we said, dear Lord, please send someone that can help us. Lord, be with us. And I kept saying, stay here and trust me. Lord, you said, stay here and trust me. And that's what we're going to do. And you know the story, how that God heard that prayer. He worked a miracle. It's a miracle And I'll never forget it. And I'll always remember it as a miracle of God. In the hallway, here comes this doctor, Indonesian doctor. And he came up to us and he introduced himself. And he spoke in English. It was broken English, but enough English, well enough that we could fully understand. And he told us, I have been trained in England. And I have also been to your country, and I know what you must be feeling. I know that you're concerned. He said, but I have three little girls myself. He said, trust me, I'll take care of your daughter. He said, I was not supposed to be here tonight, but there's a burn victim. And we thought, Lord, you had him here for us. It's a miracle. So don't tell me that when we pray sincerely and we ask God to help us, that God cannot send a miracle. He can work a miracle. He knows how to take care of us. So it's not beyond him. I mean, he can move a mountain in our lives if we needed him to. What miracles has he worked for you? Sometimes we don't see them as miracles when we should. We just take it as, you know, God answered my prayer. I'm so grateful for it. But if we would know that when we pray, and sometimes some things are more difficult and more complicated than others, and in those times, we can say, Lord, you worked a miracle. We can hear his voice. That's his voice speaking through these actions. We don't hear audible voices from God, but he speaks his voice to our hearts in a still small voice, and he directs us. He can turn obstacles around. He can change the direction of circumstances which we have no control over. Those are all miracles. And that's the voice of God speaking to our hearts. Be careful that you don't miss it. God is not limited in his power and his abilities. The problem is not with God when we are lacking spiritually. We as humans limit him because our busyness and our unwillingness to be still before him, and our lack of patience to wait for and expect his answer. Sometimes we are so wrapped up in self and involvements, we even fail to see just how often God is speaking through various circumstances in our lives. That's his voice. There are some steps we can take to help us to hear from God and to recognize his voice. Number one, have faith-filled expectations from God. God, I'm asking you for a miracle, and I'm asking for your will to be done, but I expect it to be done. And then number two, position yourself and stay close to him. Remember, he never moves away from us. We're the ones who move away from him. And then three, be still before the Lord and shut out all other noises and voices coming from the world. God's voice is peaceful. He is not the voice of confusion. The confusion comes in when we doubt and question God. So number four, listen for his voice. Number five, when he speaks, respond immediately and eagerly. Lord, you've spoken, and I'm so happy that you've spoken. Remember, our beginning scripture says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. If we're not going to hear from God, sometimes, you know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows those who are going to listen, those who are sincere. But when he does speak, respond immediately and eagerly. Remember that The Lord does speak to those who listen, who have a heart. We must listen in order to hear what God has to say. Listen with an open and willing heart to hear what He is saying to you. Don't have your mind made up about what you want Him to say. Number six, when He speaks, obey His voice. Do not argue and make excuses. Remember how the Israelites put their trust in the Ark of God rather than in God Himself? They learned that in order to receive the Lord's help, that they had to put their faith in Him and that they had to obey His commandments. We can get things out of order sometimes. In order to keep correct understanding of right and wrong and directions and choices that we need to make, we must study and know the Word of God, know what it says about things. If not, you can end up interpreting for yourself what you desire, the word or even the answer God sends to say what you want, not what God wants. So sometimes we want God's answers to be what we want it to be, not what we know that God knows best for it to be. Knowing God's word and staying close to God protects us from misinterpreting God's voice in answer to our prayers. In 1 Samuel, we have the account of Hannah and Samuel. We know from Scripture that Hannah was known as a woman of prayer. You know what? God knows sincere hearts. She was barren, yet desired children very much. One year after much prayer concerning her inability to bear children, she traveled to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was located. At the entrance of the tabernacle, she prayed for a child, prayed very sincerely. She made a vow to the Lord that if He would bless her with a son, that she would give him back to the Lord for all the days of his life. The priest Eli saw Hannah praying so intensely, but he drew the conclusion because she was praying so intently that she was drunk. So he even rebuked her. But once Hannah explained, Eli blessed her, and he asked God to grant her request. She returned home and was able to conceive a son whom she named Samuel, which means, I have asked for him from the Lord. Special story, isn't it? A real true story. Special. She must have had a very special heart. And the Lord knew that. Once Samuel was weaned and old enough, Hannah didn't forget her commitment. Hannah kept her commitment to God. She took Samuel and she presents him to Eli to serve and minister before the Lord. How hard, you know, that must have been. She visits him once a year. And when she went, the scriptures say that she would make him a little robe and she would take it to him. Now he was on up, I think, maybe around 12, I think. I can't remember now what the scripture said, but Eli asked God to bless Hannah and her husband with other children in order to fill a place of the child that she gave to serve the Lord. She actually was blessed by God with three other sons and two daughters. You never outgive the Lord. The Lord knows exactly what we need. And when you make a commitment to God, you better be careful that you are sincere in making that commitment. God takes it very serious. Meanwhile, Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord and would go on to become the spiritual leader of Israel as the prophet and judge of the nation. Samuel actually anointed the nation's first two kings, Saul and David. The story of Hannah and Samuel offers important lessons for especially mothers. First, Hannah turned to God in prayer during her time of need. Two, she also listened and heard God's voice for directions from him, even after Samuel was born. It would have been easy to try and interpret God's voice in a different way so that she did not have to fulfill her commitment, but she didn't. She heard from God's voice what she was supposed to do, and she was reminded that she made that commitment and never turned back on it. And she praised God and thanked God for her answered prayer. She kept her commitment to the Lord. And four, God blessed Hannah beyond what she asked. Don't you know how blessed she was to watch her son serve and minister in God's service? Although that must have been so hard, all of you mothers can relate to this, how hard it would be, but not in her eyes and in her heart, because she knew she was giving him back to the Lord. During the time Samuel was serving the Lord and helping Eli in the tabernacle, Eli's sons were doing horrible things to the people, to the Israelites, even at Shiloh. They had no love for God. They became very wicked men. They even robbed God of his offerings and cheated the people, even the sacrifices. Because of Eli's sons, the people disliked offering sacrifices. They didn't trust doing so. And Eli had no control over them. He did not bring them to the place that they should have been. God did not punish Eli for the sins of his sons, but rather for failing to restrain, correct, or stop his sons from doing evil. Eli had become old in his role as priest. Eli's sons both die as a punishment for their wickedness. Eli would later die after his sons die in battle. One night, Samuel was sleeping in the sanctuary. Before dawn, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel, we know we tell this story to our children. Our children will know it well. Samuel thought it was Eli, and he answered, "Yes, sir," to him. But Eli tells him that he didn't call. So Samuel returns to bed. The Lord called Samuel three times, and those three times he would say, "Yes, sir," in response to Eli, and he would say, "Go back to bed because I haven't called you." The third time, Eli began to realize that it is the Lord calling. And he does admonish Samuel that if he calls you again, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The Lord says to Samuel that someday I am going to bring punishment on Eli and his family for the wickedness and dishonor they have done. At morning, Samuel told Eli what the Lord had told him. That was after Eli had pressured him and said, "You need to be honest with me and tell me what he said to you." So Eli did. And I read several things today that said Samuel did not hold back on being honest and upfront. He was a forthright man. So how did Samuel hear from God? I'm going to give you a little bit of the account, go over this a bit. So Eli told Samuel to go and lie down. Samuel hears this voice, but he doesn't recognize it as God's. And we have to remember that at that point, Samuel was young still, And he did not know God at that time, but he did come to know God. But you know what? This speaks to me that God knows the hearts that listen. He knows who he can speak to. He knows who he can voice his plans to and his opinions and his will for lives. He knows the sincere. So when Samuel told him, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as that he had other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. He's listening now. He's listening to God. He's wanting to hear what God has to say to him. Because Samuel heeded instruction and got still before the Lord, he could hear and recognize God's voice and the message to him, which was a very serious, important message. It's good to note that the key themes in Samuel are God's opposition to the proud, his exaltation of the humble, his faithfulness in spite of evil, and also the promise of a messianic king. We see God's patience with Samuel. God called Samuel four times that night. Finally, Samuel understood and listened to what God was telling him. Just as Samuel, God patiently calls us to. He calls us to listen to him and to be still in our busy lives to hear and understand what wisdom he wants to give us about ourselves and the directions that he needs us to go. What if Samuel had not listened that fourth time? God has had a special and very important message for him. Samuel hears from God because he got still and saw the importance of it, and he listened. A warning to us all, never get too busy or set in your thinking that you miss vital things that God needs to reveal to you. How can we do that? We can't easily do it because we can get so busy in our lives and not necessarily doing bad things. But you know what? If it's not what God needs you to be doing, it's not a good thing. If you honor God, God will honor you. And you can count on that. The scripture tells us so. So in order to hear and recognize God's voice, we have to be aware at all times that God wants to speak to us. He's trying to help us. And we must be aware that sometimes there's some surprise visits that we don't expect, just like Samuel that night. We also need to anticipate his speaking voice to my heart, looking forward to hearing what he has to say, desiring his voice. You know, we're hindered sometimes and we misinterpret what God's saying to us. Why? Because sometimes we really want what we want, and we want God to say to us what we desire. And we get disappointed sometimes if he doesn't, if he has a different way than what we do. We get disappointed. And you know, that's showing doubt in God, that God knows what we have need of. He knows which direction we need to go. He's protecting us. And if we could ever get that down in our hearts and minds, we would be so grateful. We would not argue with God. We would say, Lord, I may not understand it. And I bet Samuel, I don't know, I can't add the scripture, but I bet he was so confused, because you see confusion, you know, he didn't understand, and he was thinking, who's calling me? We need to be aware that God speaks to our hearts. We need to hear his voice, not the world's. We don't need the world to dictate to us what it wants us to do and hear and say and how we need to act. We need to trust the Lord, and we need to expect him to meet with us and to help us to know the directions that we need to go. We need to submit to God. Don't get too busy that you can't calm your heart and be still before God and allow him to speak to you and show you what it is that he's trying to reveal to you. So just that warning, never get too busy. And the other thing I said was, don't get set in your ways and your way of thinking that you miss the vital things that God needs to reveal to you. What if Samuel had not listened? What if he had not had a very sincere heart? Now, I want to take it back a little further. Think about Hannah. This young man, I'm sure his mother loved him dearly. And she was willing to sacrifice and do without him because she knew that God had a special plan for him. I know that the time that she had him and had him under her care, that she guided him in the ways of the Lord. That's why when it came time for her to fulfill her commitment, he went willingly because he trusted his mother. He did not know the Lord at that time, but he trusted his wise, godly, praying mother. Don't forget that God gives the best to those who leave the choices with him. Don't make your own choices. Don't get too busy that you squeeze God out of your life. Or even worse, that we squeeze him into a little part of our heart. That's even worse. Because that leads to a hardened heart and not being able to hear from God. So let's learn from Samuel's life to hear from God, to be still, to be silent, to lay down and to ask God, even at night, speak to my heart. If there's something that you need to speak to me about or to show me, have an open heart so that God can do that. I trust that you took something away from this lesson tonight. I think we all could. That we never sacrifice anything for the Lord. He has given all. He has given his all to us. So we need to be very aware that God loves us that much, that he speaks to our hearts.